Well, I like this. This is one of my favourite pieces, this picture, this painting. It's Bristol Hippodrome, painted fairly soon after it opened in 1918. But I love this because of the history behind it. It's a little bit of a mystery piece. You can see it's watercolour, it's very impressionistic, but it's got two signatures on it, and that's what started me off wondering about it.
Right.
You've got P. Vézelay there and M. Watson Williams there, and I just thought, I don't understand it.
Two artists, potentially.
Yeah. But it turns out Marjorie Watson Williams was born in Clifton in 1892, right. Wanted to be an artist. Dad was an ENT specialist. She felt completely stifled by middle class, what she described as middle class Clifton academia, and thought, I'll never make it as Marjorie Watson Williams. Went to France and changed her name to Paul Vézelay.
Oh, really?
And she chose Paul because it's neither male or female, so it's really hard to make it as an artist then. And Vézelay was a place in France she felt particularly inspired by.
So it's two names, but the same artist.
The same artist.
Fantastic. And so there's a story behind pretty much every single thing you've got.
Every single thing. And that was in her early part of her life. She went to France, became friends with the abstract creation movement artists, and became Britain's first and foremost female abstract artist. The Tate have 14 of her pictures. This is the earliest known work of hers in public hands. But all her abstract work was based on diverging lines and cones, and it turns out the inspiration for all of her work was the way that theatre lights in those days cast. And you can see it here,
yeah,
in this picture. So that was the beginning of her whole future development as an artist.
That's
and
wonderful.
The beginning of abstract work in Britain, which is quite, I just like that because it's theatre, social history, art history, everything.
It ticks all the boxes,
doesn't it? It does, yeah. This is one of my favourite archives. This is Stephanie Cole, who's a local actress.
Yes.
And we've decided with Stephanie we would do a very complete archive of her work so that in 50 or 100 years' time, people can look back and say, that's what it was like being an actor in the late 20th century. So this is it. It starts there. It's all those boxes down here to here. It contains.
So we've got a good, well, five or six shelves worth of her work.
Yep. And from the day she went to theatre school, she went to Old Vic Theatre School, her mum kept scrapbooks of everything she did. So we have years and years worth of these scrapbooks. They've got production photographs in, they've got programmes, they've got press cuttings, they've got the letters Steph wrote home, and her theatre school report, which is quite interesting. So we have her scrapbooks, and we have the scripts of all the plays and productions she's worked on. But I think this is what people like more than anything in this box. Let me show you. I bet you've never seen one before.
Let's have a look. Ah, now then, the familiar red book everyone knows about. This is your life, Stephanie Cole. Fantastic.
Yeah,
this is your life.
You can smell the leather, can't you, in it?
That's fantastic.
And of course, everybody wants to know what's inside.
Yes.
That's the question.
And there it is. So the first page. This book is presented to Stephanie Cole as a memento of her appearance as guest of honour on This Is Your Life. 16th of November, 1994.
And then that note from Michael Aspel, Stephanie, thanks for saying yes, exclamation mark.
I wonder if he writes the same in every book.
And then inside what they do after the show, they send it to with stills from the show.
The actual show. So there we go, that's what's in the book.
The book, yep, that's the big red book. But people will be baffled in 20 years' time, won't they?
Yeah.
And they don't know what's the significance of the big red book.
Oh, I think This Is Your Life will live on beyond that,
to be honest. Go beyond, yeah.